rip it off.
So, yes, so God has blessed me very much, and I want to say that I am so glad to be back in this house. It fills me so much, and I'm very blessed because of it. And I'm very blessed because of each and every one of you. I want you to know. And thank you for your prayers, because I know you all were praying for me. I get that. Are you ready to start? None of that's on recording, right? We'll wait for her. All right, so this morning what I want to do is I want to change into something a little different, and I'm going to go a little different way. You all have heard this story, and you've read probably the verse many, many times, but I kind of want to take it into a different area and mix it up just a little bit. But today I don't want to get into a hurry, okay? I don't want to get into a rush. I'll get you in time for lunch. Then we got what, 2 hours? But today we're not going to rush past some of the issues in our life. We're going to actually step into them. Okay? There may have been some pain. There may be some pain in your life. There may be some things in your life. But today we're going to step into them, and we're going to step through them. John 11:35 says that. Anybody know what John 11:35 says? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Two words. Two very holy words. Two human words. But you got to believe they were very divine words. Amen? Jesus wept. Now, we need to think about that. And I thought in my mind, well, why did Jesus weep? Why would a man as holy as Jesus and as thought out as Jesus, why would he weep? Well, you need to understand it. It wasn't the angels weeping. It wasn't the prophets weeping. It wasn't disciples. It was Jesus. The Word made flesh, the creator of the universe, who spoke light into the darkness. Jesus. He wept. Sit on that for just a second. Now, some of you may have come in here carrying tears you haven't shed yet. Some of you came maybe carrying pain, maybe carrying grief, or maybe something that you don't know how to get rid of, you don't know how to avoid. Well, today this story is for you. Okay? The Lord touched my heart and He says, I need to do this. There's a picture, I want you to picture a small village named Bethany with me. There's a household that is deeply grieving, very heavy grieving. Basically, the family is shattered. The story begins very quietly, and we're going to start off in John 11:1-3, please. Chastity, put that up for me. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. They didn't demand a miracle. They didn't come out and command heaven. They simply said, the one you love is sick. I'm sure we've been in that point and place before. Now that is a prayer of the brokenhearted. That is a prayer, that is a language of mixed trust, faith, and desperation. But you know Jesus heard them. He heard them well. And he heard him loud. But you know what Jesus did? Nothing. He waited. John 11:4-6, please. She's faster than I am. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not, will not end in death. Notice, for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. You ever had family like that? You call them, and they wait 2 days? I'm sure you don't. But the thing is, he waited. Now, a lot of people in a situation like that would get a letter from a loved one that something had happened. We'd be on the phone. We'd be on a plane. We'd be headed out to wherever we needed to go. But Jesus didn't. He waited. And you know he loved them so much. But here's the thing to this morning. Some of you know that kind of waiting. You prayed, and heaven felt silent. You've cried, and nothing's changed. But I want you to know this morning that delay is not denial. I want you to understand that. Delay is not denial, and Jesus will speak into that. Now, Jesus speaks again in John 11:11-15. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get better." We all think that would be right, right? But see, he's speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant a natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Now, Lazarus is dead. Now, Jesus has waited for 2 days, right? Not sick. He's not sleeping. He's dead. He's gone. Now, by the time Jesus arrives, John 11:17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus waited 2. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. Think about that one, everybody. He'd been in the tomb 4 days. 4 days, 4 means it's complete. 4 means that all hope is buried. It meant that the community and everybody, the loved ones and everybody around them was heading home. They were getting ready to leave. They were saying their last goodbye. But here comes Jesus. Martha runs out to Jesus. 22 and 21, please. John 11:22-21. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now Martha said, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." That's faith. That's huge faith. She knew that once he showed up, he'd get whatever he wanted. He'd get everything. That's faith standing in pain. That's faith standing in grief. That's faith. That's the heaviest faith, the best, the most faith you could ever have. But see, Jesus responds in 23 through 27. This is what Jesus said. He said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "Oh, I know he's going to. I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last days." I get that, Jesus. I get it. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whosoever lives in me by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming to the world." That's faith. She knew who he was. She knew what he could accomplish because she had seen it before. Now, you see, resurrection was not just a future event. When we talk about resurrection was standing right in front of her. He was there. She was looking at him. She was talking to him. Now, when Mary came, now that was Martha. But when Mary came into the scene, Mary arrives more broken, right? John 11:32-34. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have died, would not have died." They both said the same thing, basically the same. If you'd have been here, I had no qualms with it. He wouldn't have died. And see, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he also was deeply moved. Now, I'm not adding to the scripture. I'd added that myself. He was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. "Where have you laid him?" "Come and see. Come and see." And then 11:35, Jesus wept. You see, he did not stand above their pain. He did not stand above their grief. He did not stand above all the stuff that they were going through at this point. What he did was he stepped into it. He stepped into it, and he felt the pain the same as they did. He felt the grief. He felt the hurt. The Son of God cried. Now, of course, there was a silence. You know, there's always silence before a miracle. There was a silence. You see, before the resurrection, before he could do anything with Lazarus, he waited. He waited. He waited so that what was going to happen, he knew that what was going to happen was going to be humongous. And he wanted to make sure that everybody else understood that. Now, I know some of us in this room know what that silence is. There's a silence. Some of us know the delays. And sometimes we go for quite a while, maybe with an unanswered prayer, but we still keep praying. Amen? We still keep praying. You prayed, nothing changed. You fasted, nothing moved. You believed, and still death came. But I want you to listen to me carefully this morning. God's silence does not mean his absence. It doesn't mean he's not hearing you. It doesn't mean that he's not there with you going through it. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He's got a different thought process. He's got a different thought plan for each and every one of us. Do you all agree with that? Say amen. Okay. We don't know what he has in store for us, but he knows what he has in store for us. Now, let's back up just a little bit. I wanted to give you that just to show you who God is. Now, why Jesus wept? Do you think he wept because he didn't have any power? No. Did he wept because he wasn't strong enough? No. One of the strongest people that I've ever come to understand. No, why he wept is because he felt their pain. He felt their hurt. He felt everything that they were going through. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, I'm going to read this to you. I don't have it on the scriptures. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, but yet he did not sin." You see, the thing is, Jesus feels your loss. He feels your loneliness. He feels your unanswered prayers. And as we've been through these last 2 weeks when we get back to church, sometimes that stuff comes crawling in. It comes crawling in, and sometimes we may feel lonely. We may be praying and we don't feel like we're getting the answers that we want. Now we're back in church. We're able to get around the people that are our people that we can actually talk to. I tell you what, when you walk out into this world, I know you all understand it, But it's tough. It's tough to look at people and understand that they're going through major, major ordeals and major problems. And you know, you feel for them. You want to do something for them. But first, what you want to do is you want to grab them and pull them into the church. But the problem is, when you try to grab them, what they want to do is they want to say, no, I don't believe in that, or no, I don't feel comfortable, or no, I don't want to be there. But I want to tell each and every one of them that Jesus feels your loss. Jesus feels your loneliness. Jesus understands your unanswered prayers. Sorry, I went off on a leg there. Now, Jesus approaches the grave. We're back on Lazarus now. Jesus approaches the grave. John 11, 38 through 39. Did I give you that one? Or am I reading that one myself? Sorry, thank you. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. Now, here, where Martha comes in, and Martha protests, she says, oh, wait a minute. But Lord, now this is Martha, the sister of the dead man. By this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Any of you smell like that? I don't know. Let's go on and let's see. But he's been there for 4 days, so he kind of stinks. Some of your situations smell like death. Some of the things in our lives smell like death. Maybe somebody's got a dead marriage, or somebody's got a dead dream. Or maybe they just don't, it's dead, they don't have any hope. But you see, Jesus specializes in what stinks. Jesus looked to the heavens as he's standing in front of that tomb, and he's looking at it. He's wept. Now, he looks at it, 41 and 42, please. And so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. He did it for the crowd. He prayed for the crowd. Even though his prayer was powerful, his prayer was not weakness. His prayer was power. And he knew what was going to happen, but he had to show the other people around him what was going on so they could learn. We're all children in God, and sometimes we act like it. We all got to learn. Amen? 43 through 44, John 11, 43 through 44. Now, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Go figure. His hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the clothes and let him go. Now death obeyed his voice. The grief or the pain around everybody bowed to his power. It just bowed right down. Now here's what does that mean for us? This was 2,000 years ago, give or take. What does that mean for us? Psalms 56, 8. Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? I'll read that one because I don't think she had that one. She did not have that one. That's Psalms 56, 8. Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? That means tears in the record. God sees every tear. God sees every tear. God holds every heartbreak. Now, resurrection is coming for your pain. Healing is coming for your grief. And I say that because nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. And sometimes I think we need to hear that. We need to hear that God is always there. And it says in Romans 8, 38 through 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen? Not your loss, not your mistakes, not your grief, not your pain. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. Now, we're standing at the stone before the miracle, before all this that is about to happen. We all know what's about to happen, but don't you know they were on pins and needles while they were standing there waiting to see what was about to transpire. But there was silence. Before the resurrection, there was waiting. We were waiting, right? Before Lazarus actually came out, Jesus stayed where he was. So he waited. We all know that stuff. We know the silence. We know the delay. We know the unanswered. But here's the thing. Once again, God's silence does not mean his absence. It doesn't mean he's gone. But they were waiting, the silence. But he waited, and he waited, and he prayed, because something bigger was coming. Something larger was coming. It wasn't a recovery, but it was a resurrection. And he knew how powerful that was going to be for everybody who was around him. A resurrection. When Jesus wept, he crossed a line that no other God in history had ever crossed. He wept. He didn't stand distant. He didn't remain detached. He didn't look at grief setting up on a throne. He stepped into it. He stepped into it. And I keep going to that because it's so powerful to me to know that someone that much power could actually feel what I may be feeling or what you may be feeling. But he didn't fix it. He didn't just go and correct it. He didn't just go and heal. Lazarus, to make him better, he waited. He waited for him to actually die, and then he stepped in. When you look at Jesus, coming around the time in Isaiah 53, 3 through 4, it says he was despised and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering, familiar with the pain, like one from whom people hide their face. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He did. Now we're talking about Jesus. But before he carried our sins, I want you to understand, before he was on the cross laid out, he carried our tears. He actually went through the hurt and the pain for our tears. Before he carried the cross, he carried human grief in his heart. That's powerful to me. That's powerful to me. Now, here's the kicker. Some saw his tears, as most of us would, and they believed, but others mocked him. They mocked his delay. 11:36 through 37 says, "Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Couldn't he have just been here a little quicker?'" Those are the mockers. And you're going to always have those type of people. I want you to understand that. There's going to be those type of people. Hopefully we can save them and bring them to church. There's always going to be voices that question your faith. There's always going to be someone that is a naysayer or someone who does not believe in God. They'll come to you, they'll say there is no God, or if he loved you, this wouldn't have happened. Lazarus wouldn't have died if Jesus loved you. If Jesus was real, he would have stopped it. All those things were happening. You know they were in that crowd. You know there were some people that were around watching this. But the same Jesus they doubted was about to move in power. He was about to move in power and prove to them once and for all. You see, Scripture tells us Jesus, he was moved twice during this whole thing. He was deeply moved. Not lightly moved. He was deeply moved. Jesus once more, this was in 11:38, earlier on it said he was deeply moved and troubled. And here it says he was deeply moved when he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. He did not approach the death casually. He did not walk to the grave casually. What did he do? He commanded. He confronted it. He went to it face to face. The same Jesus who wept just a few seconds ago was about to command life. He does his greatest work where hope looks impossible. He moves when hope looks impossible. When things when you think in your mind that nothing else could be, that nothing can help you, we always know to go to prayer and have faith in Jesus. Now, Jesus reminded Martha of her faith. Jesus had to remind Martha, even Martha, of her faith. At John 11:40, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?'" Did I not tell you if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? Now, here was the thing. It's not after the miracle had happened. It was before the miracle had happened. He said, "Did I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Before anything had ever happened. He didn't do it when it made sense. He did it when it doesn't make sense. And that's what he does for us. Sometimes he does it when it doesn't make sense at all. Faith is believing God even when the stone is still there. When the stone's still standing, there's that faith. Then, of course, Jesus will speak to it, and it's not a whisper. It's definitely not going to be a prayer of desperation. What it's going to be is it's going to be a commandment. John 11:43 says this, "When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out.' That voice once spoke, 'Let there be light.' Now speaks to the death. Now speaks to death. And what happens? Death is defeated. Now, Lazarus came out, but here's the thing. Lazarus was still bound. Lazarus still had his death clothes on him. In John 11:44, it said, "The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" Take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, the resurrection happened instantly. Freedom happened. But here's freedom. The actual freedom of Lazarus happened because of the church. Resurrection happened quickly and quietly. But the church or the community had to unwrap him. They had to get his bindings off them. Had to pull. He said, "Let him go. Take away his bindings and let him go." Now, some of you, some of us, are alive in Christ, but still wrapped in grave clothes. We're still wrapped up. We're wrapped up in our fears. We're wrapped up in shame. We're wrapped up in guilt. Or maybe we're wrapped up a little bit in some of our past traumas. But here's the thing. Jesus says today, he says to you today, "Take them off and let them go. Take off that thing that binds you and let it go." You see, Lazarus' resurrection was a key point, but it was forward thinking because it was pointing toward forward to something else that was about to happen. See, Jesus raised Lazarus from a tomb, but he would soon walk out of his own. Amen? John 10, 17 through 18. I'm going to read that. I did not give that to her. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. See, Lazarus was raised by Jesus' voice. He yelled, come out. Jesus would rise by his own authority. By his own authority. Now, here. See, we got through that pretty quick. I didn't keep you too late. I'm going to close here. If Jesus can raise Lazarus, he can raise whatever you thought was dead in you, whatever you're bound up with, whatever is holding you back in your church life, in your family life, the things that are holding you where you are today. I know that I can be a total better person than I was yesterday. I just got to keep moving through it. He can fix. He can raise your thought. He can, your faith, your joy, your calling, your hope. Maybe all that's mixed up. But here's the thing. Jesus says, take it all, let it go. Let those bindings go. Because he wept with you. He wept with us so that he can walk with us. He stood at Lazarus' tomb so he can stand at ours. And the last word is not let. It's not going to be death. The last word is life. The last word is life. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all I got. Praise God. You want to pray for us? Okay. Nope, that's okay. Thank you all.